This is the final week of our Can I Get a Witness sermon series. I hope you have enjoyed hearing about the faith journey of several of our members. I know I have personally found it enriching to learn a bit more about our people's stories. And don't fret, this is not the only sermon series opened to others sharing their stories. There will be other times to share in the future, and I look forward to hearing from even more of you, because we are better together. Today we're going to hear from Melissa Settner, who will share a bit about growing up Jewish and Catholic. If you look at our text for today, it begins with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is the Hebrew prayer known as the Shema. It is tied to the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It is also a profound statement in a time where people were worshiping many gods. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Hebrew word for the Lord here is YHWH, which is pronounced Yahweh. And it speaks to God's unique and unrivaled oneness and God's timeless, unmatched existence. Everything we do as followers of Christ starts here. We cannot follow the teachings of Jesus and ignore the majesty of God, or for that matter, the power of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, we cannot profess a full and rich faith in Christ in our current times without acknowledging and honoring the faith tradition of our Jewish ancestors. Jesus was a Jew. So what sorts of traditions do we carry on from our Jewish beginnings? Well, there's the entire Old Testament, for one. The Old Testament is more aptly referred to as the Hebrew Scriptures, and rightly so. It is not just some sort of old set of writings that we can gloss over, given the New Testament and Jesus. The Hebrew Scriptures are rich with our history. Yes, some of that history is gruesome and hard to comprehend, but it is still a part of God's big story. We don't have Jesus without the Hebrew Scriptures. We also carry on the ancient tradition of scripture study, or rather, studying the law, especially that given to Moses, learning from previous generations, learning from wise teachers, fasting, prayer, and praise, just to name a few things. What makes faith traditions so important? Are they important? Do you think they hinder or bolster our faith? Let's take a moment to unpack this a bit. First, what are some of the traditional symbols of our faith? We have the cross. We have the communion table and communion, the bread and cup. We have the basin and towel, which we use for love feast and as a note about and a symbol of service to others. We have the dove for the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. What are some other traditions and symbols of our faith? Can you think of some to name? Nancy? Yeah, the Ark. The three crosses on the hill, right? Rainbow, yep. God's promise after the flood. Any others? What are some faith traditions that have been special to you and your family over the years? I'll start with a couple of mine while you're thinking. My dad always read the Christmas story, the story of Jesus' birth, every Christmas Eve night after we got home from church. We always said prayers before meals. We sang Christmas carols on our way home after Christmas Eve service. And you've heard my other thing before about that we never put our Bibles on the floor. That was just a thing we didn't do growing up. What are some of your faith traditions that you remember from your family, maybe from your grandparents or your parents? What are some things that are special to you? Never put anything on top of the Bible, okay? Okay. Nancy? Oh, wow. That's powerful. That's great. Others? Yeah, Emily. The gelt? Yeah. Nice. Love it. Others? Oh, yeah, Kelsey.
We would go to multiple Christmas Eve services every year, sometimes as many as three.
Oh, wow.
Different families, so step family, my mom's family, and then.
Yeah, that is committed. But our Christmas Eve service is awesome. They just are. It's a way to celebrate our Savior in such a different way and a beautiful way. So now we're going to hear from Melissa as she shares about her faith story and traditions.
Good morning. Good morning, Judy. As Jamie said, I grew up learning both about Catholic and Jewish in my family. My dad's side of the family was the Catholic side of the family. And in case you didn't know, the Jewish law states that the Jewish faith always follows the woman's side of the family. So technically, I could have been able to convert if I wanted to. However, obviously, I did not, which will bring me around to this. Why not convert? Well, there's a clip of a movie that I'd like to show you. It shows two completely different ways of making breakfast, and it sounds really silly when I say it, but bear with me on this.
Now, what can I do to help?
Well, you could finish the French toast.
Good. I'll just open the donuts.
Good thinking.
Whoops. Don't want to lose the nails.
I'll just wait till I hear from you, then.
Voila. Breakfast is ready.
So, those are two grandmothers, two completely different sides of the family coming together, making breakfast. The one grandmother is doing a really great job. She's doing that homemade breakfast. She's scrambling some eggs, maybe sausage, scrapple. I don't know. John says it's bacon. But she's making breakfast her way. The other grandmother comes in and says, "Hey, can I help?" And she goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "Okay." And she grabs the Entenmann's box. Entenmann's, yeah. But she can't open it because she'll break a nail. So she gets a knife, and she's got her cigarette hanging out of her mouth, and the ashes are about to fall. And she goes, "Breakfast is ready, right?" So the way that I saw that was, it's breakfast. It really doesn't make a difference how you make your breakfast. You're having breakfast together as a family. No judgment, right? Simple, easy. As adults, though, how many of you looked at that scene and went, "That cigarette ash is going to fall"? Yeah. Or, "How could she possibly just give sugary donuts to the kids for breakfast?" It was a constant discussion in our household. And I use the term discussion really, really loosely. As the correct way to do things, not only make breakfast, but also worship. As I got older, I made a few realizations about the similarities between the Jewish faith and the Catholic faith. Judaism follows the Torah, which in really basic terms is the entire body of Jewish law and teachings, as well as sacred scrolls of parchment that are used in synagogues. the five books of Moses, which you're all familiar with, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Catholics, however, follow the Bible. They get their direction from the Pope. The Catholics in my family did not open their Bibles. If they even had them, I can't remember if they had them. Most of them I do remember having rosaries. Most of my aunts had rosaries and were walking around with their rosaries most of the time. And most of them just waited until Sunday, went to Mass. Fathers told the scripture story, what they were supposed to focus on, and then reminded them to go to confession. Jewish side is a little bit different. Didn't read the Torah, but the rule was every 3 days you needed to go to temple, synagogue, and be able to hear the word, and not any longer than 3 days. I don't remember the reason for that. I'm sure there's a reason. Holidays were equally as important to both sides. In Judaism, the important holidays, which were called the high holidays, were Rosh Hashanah, which is New Year, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, the three pilgrimage festivals, which were Sukkot, Passover, and Shavuot, Hanukkah, and Purim. Catholics, very similar to Christians, have Easter, Christmas, Ash Wednesday, Pentecost, and Atonement. So as a young person, I'm looking at these holidays and I'm trying to understand, so which one's better? Is there a right and wrong? So being the person who always questions things, let's find out what the similarities are between the holidays. So Passover and Easter are both in the springtime. They're both about redemption and deliverance. Shavuot and Pentecost are both about receiving God's word and the bounty of harvest. Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement, fasting and atonement. So, really, we're just keeping God's commandments in different ways. Having the joy of learning about Judaism and Catholicism during my childhood has taught me a very valuable lesson, actually two lessons. One, that arguing about who is right and wrong never gets you anywhere. And that pressuring people and telling them what is wrong with their beliefs will very rarely make anyone change their belief system. There's another clip of a movie that shows two just completely different, polar opposites, attempting to reach out to each other and come together. It's a Disney movie, by the way.
No. Wait, we can't touch.
Maybe we can.
No.
But can't we just prove it?
Prove what?
Let's see what happens. And if it's a disaster, then we'll know this would never work.
But it actually could be a disaster. I could vaporize you. You could extinguish me. And then...
Let's start small.
Thank you.
clip reminds me that even the most opposites can work together. Maybe you do have to start really, really small. But the impact of accepting one another and showing unconditional love is what we're all called to do, no matter our faith. I chose to become a member at Stevens Hill, not only because so many of you opened your hearts to me and my past and the things that I had gone through in such a loving and non-judgmental way, but also because Stevens Hill and Church of the Brethren allowed me to choose what I wanted to believe and when I was ready to accept Christ, when I was ready to be baptized. No one told me that I was wrong about my past or the things I thought I believed or that I wasn't worth it. And that's how I came to Stevens Hill. And that's my faith story. Thank you.
Melissa, thank you for not only sharing your faith story, but your heart with us this morning. So why are our traditions and symbols so important to us? And is there such a thing as too much emphasis on these things or not enough emphasis on them? Sometimes we can get caught up in the symbolism of things. I had a great aunt who was Catholic through and through. My mom's side of the family was like 100% Catholic until my grandparents. And she would just hold so tight to all the different rituals and symbolism and everything. And then I had a grandmother on my other side who was a Christian, went to a Christian church, and she was such that if she did not go to church on Sunday, she felt like something bad was going to happen to her. She was really superstitious about that kind of thing, and so she held so tight to those things. I also remember a time at Lancaster where we tried to do something different for Love Feast one year and kind of really changed it up in a pretty radical way. And there were a lot of people upset about that because they held tight to those traditions. And I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it just depends on who the person is. But what I do know is that when it comes to religious traditions, Christian traditions, Jewish traditions, and our symbolism, is that it should enhance our worship. It should make worship more meaningful. It should bring us closer to God. Those things should not give us a sense of guilt or duty, but of wanting to connect in this way with God. Our religious traditions and symbols are meant to be something that anchors us in our faith and lets us expand our faith and become closer to God. May we reflect on these things for the remainder of the service and this week and throughout the week.